So here's a reading from Ephesians chapter 2. And goes like this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Dead in your transgressions and sins. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. 10 simple verses, but you could meditate on that all year and still not fully plumb its depths. The verse we're going to be thinking about was that last one. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I wonder whether God has got my life all mapped out in a definite plan, or whether I am free to choose what I do. Do you ever wonder those things? Well, for the last time, we're going to look at a movie this morning, and this is from a film that was out earlier this year, starring Matt Damon and Emily Blunt, and this is a film called The Adjustment Bureau. So, the question is, has God got my life all mapped out in a definite plan, or am I free to choose? Is this life solely a result of your choice, or are there other larger forces at work? Theologians and philosophers have debated those questions for years, and George Nolfi, who's the director of that film, he actually has degrees in philosophy and political science and was raised with Christian beliefs. Nolfi actually says, the intention of this film is to raise questions, which is what art should do. And it does raise questions. But the film touches on these quite heavy matters, but it has this love story running through it. And in this choice between love and power, which wins? What sacrifices will David Norris make for the woman he loves? Will these two fate-crossed lovers get a chance to be together? It turns out that the angels of fate are dead set against them. I won't spoil the film. You can rent that if you want to. So what does it mean for us, though? And this is what we've been doing through the summer. You know, we've used these films just to raise a few questions and see what the Bible says about these things. Because as Christians, if we're honest, we live in the tension of that, don't we? Do we have free will to really do anything, versus what our text seems to be implying, that God has plans. He has good works that he had in advance for us to do, possibly before we were even born, I think, by implication. I mean, if a God has a plan for us, what happens if we ruin it? What happens if we come off it? What happens if we fall out of it? Or will an angel come and adjust my path? This is relevant at this time of year because, of course, A-level results have just come out and, you know, I needed two A's and a B and I got one A and two C's, and is my life plan now ruined because I can't get to go to the university I really wanted to go to? Now, of course, if you're an atheist, you don't have these kind of moral dilemmas and problems, because if you believe God doesn't exist, then human beings are soulless products of undirected evolution. You truly don't have free will or choice or destiny. All those things are illusionary, since all we are is a collection of chemical reactions and survival of the fittest. Everything else is an illusion. We're just chemical things. Now, I'm guessing none of us here really believe that, because deep down we know that's not true. We are aware of a spiritual side because that is who we truly are, an ever-living, never-dying work of art created by God who spoke reality into existence. You have been given complete free will, and life is filled with opportunities every day to exercise our free will choices. And so we wonder about this predestination versus free will thing. If God knows our choices that we're going to make, does he therefore control them? And do we have an angel assigned to us? I don't have time to go into angels this morning because I've got a plane to catch, but ask me my angel story. I do believe in angels, and ask me that sometime. But to try and get our heads around this, I want to make a statement just to try and open up some thoughts into this quite vexed subject. I have a plan for my kids. I suppose it's not really a plan, it's more hope. And I hope their lives will be full of love, and I hope they discover the abundant life of the kingdom of God, and I hope they find great partners to share and cherish their life with and their journey with. I hope they'll be fulfilled and successful in work, and I hope that one day I'll have grandchildren to play with. It's a general plan. I don't mind the specifics. But whatever they do, wherever they are, I want them to know I love them and I'm proud of them, even if none of that works out. It's a general plan, not a specific one. It revolves around their wholeness, not my needs. Well, apart from the last one, but it's for them. So now, has God got a plan for me and my life, or am I free to make it up as I go along? So here comes today's big statement. This is the message of this sermon in a summary. So pay attention. You're not going to like this. Has God got a plan, or am I free to choose? We could do a text vote. But the answer, I believe, is quite simply, yes. Thank you. Have a good week. I'll see you next Sunday. The main man, Charles Spurgeon, said it perfectly when he said this: that God predestines and that man is responsible are two things that few can see. They are believed to be inconsistent and contradictory, but they are not. It is just the fault of our weak judgment. Two truths cannot be contradictory to each other. And he goes on, these two truths, I do not believe, can ever be welded into one upon any human anvil, but one they shall be in eternity. They are two lines that are so nearly parallel that the mind that shall pursue them the farthest will never discover that they converge, but they do converge, and they will meet somewhere in eternity close to the throne of God, whence all truth doth spring. In other words, Spurgeon is challenging our either-or thinking to embrace both truths within the mystery of God. So is God in control, or are we? Well, we know that God is in control of history. God has been working through his people in history, and that's why we read that story in the Bible, God calling a people for himself, and then, of course, supremely in the life of Jesus Christ. God has won the war against evil. We know the end of the story. What happens at the end of history? We get to see that. We get to know that now. But though that war has been won, does the battle still rage? We know that's true. We only have to watch the news. Yes, and now God has some plans for our lives. And those plans are good. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for a future and a hope. I don't think those plans include what colour you paint your toenails. I do mine pink as a rule. I don't do them. I don't know why I said that. I don't think it's specific. But they are plans to do good in our world, and especially in our relationships. Plans to lead you into abundance of life. Plans that can even be adapted to our wrong choices. This verse, many of you know very well from Romans 8. A fantastic promise contained here. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And then the verse after that, which we tend not to know so well, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. That phrase right at the beginning, all things. That means even in the mess of our lives, even in the mess of my life, God is working for good. If we had time, we'd take some testimony now. And we'd ask people to give testimony to what about when your life has really gone wrong? Can you see whether God has brought any good out of it? And I know, because you've told me, I know many people would say, yes, even when my life seems to have gone really off track, even with my bad choices, somehow God has weaved something wonderful to teach me and to help me and to learn from. So what we can definitely say is that our life is a partnership with God. We have free will and he has good works. We have independence of free will and God is in control. This is the mystery of faith. And sometimes as good evangelicals, we struggle a bit with mystery and we want to explain everything away. But we must embrace that sometimes in God. God who can do all things. And yet it was necessary even for God to come in Jesus Christ and suffer and die on a cross. Now, God can do anything. If God can do anything, surely God can think of some other way to fix us. And yet we're told that Jesus had to come and die on a cross for us. There is mystery at the very heart of our faith. And it's sometimes hard to reconcile two things. But what we can say clearly is that God is for you and not against you, that God loves you and that he cares about your decisions and your feelings. I love what one commentator said. Isn't it great to think that at some point we become so in sync with the will of God that in a sense our free will lines up with God's will? Isn't that the moment when we're sort of closest to heaven, closest to our calling, closest to who we're created to be? And at the end of this film, one of the caseworkers, one of the angels of fate, looks at Norris and says, maybe one day we won't write the plan, but you will. And I believe Jesus, when he was talking to his followers, and said, ask anything in my name, and it shall be done, is alluding to a life of discipleship where our will is so caught up in the kingdom of God and God's general will for our lives, that we will in fact ask anything in his name and it shall be done. So back to our question. God has a general plan, but is there a specific? I mean, should I be a brain surgeon? I'm sure it's a question you've all been wondering. You know, maybe if I pray and fast, I will get an answer to that question. Joe Davis, brain surgeon. And all I can say about that is, I think probably not. But maybe you're asking that question. Should you be a brain surgeon? And I can't answer that. I mean, I think if God really wanted you to be a brain surgeon, I think he has the power to make that happen. Now, what if you didn't get the grades you needed? What if you've made a mess of your life? Is that it now? Plan A, God's perfect plan A, is out the window, and now we've got to put up with a rather somewhat more inferior plan B. I don't think that is the case at all. At all. And I'm not sure I can explain it, and certainly not in 5 minutes. But I can give you a Greek lesson. So I think we'll opt for that to finish with. And in our verse, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Actually, other translations translate this verse as, we are God's handiwork, or masterpiece, which kind of gets me a bit curious about that word. And it turns out, and for the record, if anyone is going to the Baptist Union at all, please tell them they had a Spurgeon's quote and a Greek word. This won't happen very often. But the Greek word here, that word handiwork there, that's translated handiwork, is pioma. And we get our word, of course, poem, from that. We might say we are God's poetry. Could we think of ourselves as living poems, adding new lines to the story every day? The plan God has for us is a plan for love, loving relationships with him and with each other. If you've missed your grades or messed up your life, please don't worry. God's plan can still be perfectly well on track. And God is here now in this eternal present moment, and his love is for you. And his plans will bring poetry even from your worst decisions and even from your darkest days. And if your life is like mine, sometimes you will probably feel a certain nudge in a certain direction. We call it spiritual intuition sometimes. That happens. But most of the time, we are free to choose life within God's purposes, or not. In fact, whatever your situation is right now, no matter how good or bad or stressful or worrying, I'm quite certain the Lord would say, do not fear. Because right now, with God, we have a chance to make our life a poem, nothing short of a living masterpiece. There is no need for an adjustment bureau. And if we would stop worrying about the future and be present, we might actually see that even now we are co-writing the poetry of our life with Christ. Let's pray. We are God's handiwork. God's poetry, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for me to do. Heavenly Father, we confess that at times you are so big, so wonderful, so beyond us, we cannot begin to get our heads around some of the paradoxes. To believe that you created us with complete free will to do as we please. To understand that life is safe, that you are in control, and that actually we can trust you. We thank you for Martin's testimony earlier, that even in the face of cancer, even when life itself is threatened, actually, you are in control. We thank you that we know the end of our story, that you are beckoning us home to be with you forever and ever. And that, Lord, while we live in this life on this earth, you have good works for us. So now, Lord, will you help us to stop worrying? Will you help us to be anxiety free? Will you help us to see you here now and not be so full of our worries and in our heads thinking about things that we miss you? Lord, you are here and you are great, and every single person here is a work of art and a living poem. We thank you for the lives that you have entrusted to us. We are stewards of our bodies and our life. Help us to live well and faithfully and for the kingdom of God, because that's the call you've put on our lives. Amen.